Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Questions and Answers time for Friday evening. These broadcasts are live every Friday at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and this program is designed to interact with you with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. If you're calling us by phone with your questions or comments, dial 209-647-1600 and enter the access code 181610, followed by the pound key, which gets you into conference. Then press star 6 and then 1. If you're using Skype, press the free conference call button, then press the dial pad button and enter access code 181610 and press your pound key. And to get in line to ask a question, press star 6 and 1. And if you're using Paltalk, you simply go to eBible Fellowship's room, and once inside the room, you can raise your hand, and when you're asked to, you can post your question. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker for this Friday evening questions and answers time and say hello to Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, everyone, once again to our question and answer time. If you have a question or a comment you'd like to make, you're welcome to follow the directions that were just given and raise your hand for your question. I think we have a question from Pal Talks. Let's go to Michael. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer.
Echo 2011 asks, can you please explain what did Elisha mean when he asked Elijah to let a double portion of his spirit be upon him, as mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9?
2 Kings 2 and verse 9. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I'm not sure, but we can know that Elijah and Elisha, are types of Christ. And, for instance, we have the language in the Epistle of James that speaks of the fervent prayer of a righteous man in James 5:17, verse 16 and 17. The end of verse 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And this, even though it's Elias, this is Elijah. The Greek has modified that name, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And this is a historical reference to Elijah and the drought that came. But it's also picturing Christ. Christ is the one who determines the season spiritually. He's the one who can shut the door, and he's the one that can open the door, as was done with the latter rain. And so Elijah is a picture of Christ, and I think Elisha is too. We read of him doing miracles, as the historical record continues in 2 Kings, and in that he's also typifying Jesus. But how can both of them typify Christ? Well, just think of the kings. You could have David, who's a picture of Christ, and then his son Solomon. Now, I know Solomon was an unsaved man, but still Solomon, the king of Israel, Solomon, whose name means peace, Solomon, who Israel enjoyed that wonderful period of rest or peacefulness during his reign. there are certain pictures that God set up using him, one king following another king. And I'm sure there's other examples, and both would point to Christ. And so here one prophet ends his ministry and another prophet begins, and both would be pointing to Christ. But thank you for your question in this verse. And do we have another question from Pal Talk?
Yes. Could you compare Matthew 28, verse 1, with Luke chapter 6, verse 1? The question about this is the Sabbath that is referred to in Matthew, is that the same Sabbath that is being referred to in Luke 6, verse 1? Yeah, it says in Luke 6, verse 1, like, it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first. And then with Matthew 28, verse 1, how it mentions in the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn toward the first of the Sabbaths.
I understand the question that the person is asking. In Matthew 28:1, and this is where it really helps to have an interlinear or access to an interlinear Bible to see the underlying Greek, because it's very obvious. And Jay Green, I think, in his interlinear translates this correctly, or mostly correctly, and the literal translation of Matthew 28:1 is in the end of the Sabbath. It's the Greek sabbaton, in the end of the Sabbath, plural, as it began to dawn toward the first of the week. No, but that's the same Greek word sabbaton, toward the first of the Sabbath. And once we have the correct translation, then it becomes very evident what God is saying, because Jesus was lying in the tomb on that Saturday, which was the seventh day Sabbath. And now it was early Sunday morning, and Christ rose from the dead early Sunday morning. So God is letting it be known that the seventh day Sabbath has served its purpose. It was useful. God utilized it for over 11,000 years since the first week of creation. And every week thereafter, every 7 days, it instructed all that there must be rest on the Sabbath day. And that pointed to the rest that an individual can only find in Christ, and we must never do any work to get ourselves saved. Now that Jesus has come and has demonstrated and made manifest through living the tableau of his life what he had done before the foundation of the world, he is now at the point, or God is at the point, where that picture, that weekly illustration, the weekly sermon that God wanted lived out in the nation of Israel, now could end. So it was the end of the Sabbath, the end of 11,000 years, over 11,000 years of Saturday, seventh day Sabbath. Anyone who says we're to worship on Saturday is acting contrary to this verse, in violation of this verse. The seventh day Sabbath has no place in worship for the people of God. Of course, we could worship on that day as any day, but it's not the day assigned by God any longer for worship. And it's not a day of rest. And then as it began to dawn toward the first of the Sabbath, the very same word is used by God in order to let us know this is a Sabbath also. This is Sunday Sabbath. It will not be the same as the Saturday Sabbath. We're not told that here, but as we learn from other places in the Bible, we learn the things that God wants reserved for Sunday and the Sunday Sabbath, especially in Isaiah 58, where we're to involve ourselves in the gospel, in spiritual things, in those kinds of activities. And at the same time, the Lord instructs us to remove our foot, our will, from His holy day. And so since we're to be involved in spiritual things, we would never want to work unless it was absolutely necessary, if we were a doctor who had to go to the emergency or something like that. But otherwise, we never want to work. We never want to play on the Sunday Sabbath. It's not a day to play for children. What is work to children? It's play. And so all week long, children play. And they play with their toys, and they play with their balls and their games. And when Sunday comes, well, they have to be instructed by putting away the toys and the games. Just like the adult parent puts away his work or his yard work or watching football or baseball and anything like that, the child also has to learn that it's not like any other day. And how's he going to learn unless we instruct him in an area that he's very familiar with? Toys. Oh, it's not a day to play. No, God says in Isaiah 58 that we are, let me read it. I'm referring to it. And I know you want to look at Luke 6, but let's just look in Isaiah, not Isaiah 58, so where is it? Oh, yeah, it is. Isaiah 58, and it's the Old Testament, but here the Bible is actually speaking of the New Testament Sunday Sabbath. God does this at times. For instance, in Isaiah 5, God speaks of the destruction of the vineyard, and he's referring to the church. And in the New Testament, he speaks of another destruction, and he's referring to Israel. Well, in Isaiah 58:13, if thou turn away thy foot, and the foot is a representation of the will of a man, our hand and our foot both represent our will. If thou turn away thy will from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Jehovah, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure. That's the second time God has mentioned pleasure. Nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in Jehovah. So this is the... It helps us. It's a guide for us. What do we do on Sunday? Well, yes, God in the Old Testament had someone stoned to death for picking up a few sticks. That's not the purpose. God isn't trying to teach us about works at all. He's just trying to teach us the most beneficial thing for us as an individual, as a child of God. If we want to be blessed, and we want great encouragement, and if we want to be strengthened for the coming week, then follow these guidelines. Don't do your own ways. Or you have 6 days you can do your own ways, and six is far more than one. So I reserve this one day I'm giving you special instructions for one day of the week, and don't seek your own pleasure. Don't go after things you would normally do, whatever it is, turn the TV off, whatever you do during the week to seek pleasure. Now, when you do all of these things, well, somebody might be thinking, oh, it's what's left? What's left? Because we're so immersed in the world, we're so caught up in all the things of the world that we don't realize what's left is the best. We will have that which is the absolute best left. Isn't that what the Lord said to Martha in Luke chapter 10, in verse 38? Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. And remember, that's an old English word, means anxious. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, is God really being too severe or cruel in any way to tell us to put away the things, put away the concerns, put away the activities that normally make us anxious and troubled of mind? And isn't it for our own benefit? Isn't it a good thing if we delight ourselves in the Lord this particular day, and we come to this one thing needful? Well, Jesus says it's the good part. Okay, well, since we're in Luke, we slowly made our way over to the other verse that was asked about in Luke chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And what was done here was God was looking ahead to the Sunday Sabbath, even though it was not yet time for that officially, for that change to be made. That official change in Sabbath took place early the first Sunday morning that Christ rose from the tomb. And this is just further instruction God is giving us of activities that can be done on that Sunday Sabbath. The second Sabbath would be the Sunday after the first, which would be referring to Saturday, seventh day. And that is, there can be activity in corn, and corn, plucking ears of corn, eating them, and all that relates to the food spiritually of the gospel of the Bible. But thank you for those verses. And do we have another question from Pal Talk?
Yes. Lindsay 1132 asks, will the Sunday studies in 1 Peter also be on hold until early July?
Well, thank you for asking. This Sunday, Robert Daniels will be teaching. The following Sunday, I'll be back, and I'll, Lord willing, teach that Sunday. And then there shouldn't be any change. Oh, the Sunday after that, someone else will speak that, the Sunday after that. So let's see, this Sunday is the 17th. Robert Daniels will teach the 24th of June. Hopefully I'll teach. And then July 1st will to be determined who will teach that Sunday. It won't be me. Well, thank you for your question. Okay, well, thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for joining with us tonight. And please join us on Sunday, this coming Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll have online fellowship for a couple of hours. And everyone's invited. If available, please join with us. But for now, I'm going to say good night. And may the Lord's perfect will be done.
Thank you so much for joining us during this Friday evening questions and answers time. The broadcast is heard live over the Internet beginning at approximately 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You may also join our Sunday afternoon broadcast of eBible's Questions and Answers beginning at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Until then, may the Lord grant us His wisdom, and may His perfect will be done. Have a blessed evening. Good night.